This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. In the last ayah that I read to you from surah number 41, surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah that the good and the bad are not equal. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When you are in a situation where somebody is treating you wrongfully or mistreating you, or there is something that is disliked that you feel from the other party, instead of reciprocating that, instead of going tit for tat, idfa billati hiya ahsan, you should respond with what is the best. Somebody says something that is inappropriate, you should not respond with something that's also inappropriate. You should respond with a good response. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Why is that? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Maybe somebody today, there is something between you and him. There is some animosity between you and him. But perhaps down the road, things will change. Hearts change. Times change. And then that person might become one of your closest friends. كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So you don't want to say something in that moment of anger, out of emotion, that you will regret down the road. Even if you might feel that that thing that you're saying is justified. This is a very important thing, brothers and sisters, in our religion. In controlling ourselves, controlling our tongue, not reacting to things out of emotion. Ali radiallahu anhu has a beautiful statement. He says, أحبب حبيبك هونًا ما عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ بَغِيضَكَ يَوْمًا مَا. He says that when you love somebody, you know, love them moderately. Don't love them excessively, because perhaps down the road, that person might become somebody who you dislike. Okay? وَأَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ هَوْنًا مَا عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ حَمِيمَكَ يَوْمًا مَا. He says, and when you are have some animosity towards somebody, keep that also moderate. Don't let that go out of control. Because perhaps that person down the road will become one of your best friends. And this happens. This happens. People that you may not like today, down the road, they might become your most important confidant, your most important counsel. This is how life works. What is important, brothers and sisters, is when we are treated with animosity, or treated in a way that's inappropriate, our religion, the Book of Allah, teaches us to respond with kindness. That is the asl, that is the base. And you look at the Prophet ﷺ, he's described as كان خلقه القرآن. He was a walking manifestation of the Qur'an. You look at the Sahaba, and they are described as people who would take the akhlaq of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and represent that in their own character. When somebody would come and say something inappropriate to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wouldn't respond back by saying something just as inappropriate. When a person, when a Jewish person came and said to the Messenger of Allah, "Assalamu alayka ya Muhammad," which is a play on words, sounds like "Assalamu alayka," but it actually means "death upon you." The Messenger of Allah did not get offended and did not say something that was inappropriate. He just said, wa alaykum, and for you as well, brother. So the idea is we have to respond in a way that is good. When a person was coming to the Messenger of Allah. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distributing the spoils of war, and he says to the Messenger something that is as inappropriate as you can imagine. He says to the Messenger of Allah, "I'adil ya Muhammad." He says, "O Muhammad, be just." Subhanallah. Who could be more just than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Right? This is a blasphemous statement. This is a statement that is a blasphemy. To imply that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is unjust is a blasphemous statement. Okay? But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take that as he did not take that person and punish them for that kind of statement. He said, firstly, "In lam a'adil, faman ya'adil." He said, if I am not just, then who can be just? Okay? If I am receiving revelation from God, and that does not even make me a person of justice, then who else can be just afterwards? Okay, it's a rhetorical question, saying that I am being just here. And number two, when the Sahaba wanted to punish that person, the Messenger said, "Da'hu ya Umar, Umar, leave him, la'allahu yusalli." He's praying, perhaps, you know, we'll leave him because he's somebody who was part of the community. The idea of idfa' billati hiya ahsan is ingrained in the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anywhere you find it, anywhere you turn, you'll find this to be the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us to be the same way. No one is going to come and have that level of animosity towards us, brothers and sisters. The hypocrites, the kind of animosity they had to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was off the charts. These are people who would lie to the face of the Prophet, saying that we are believers, but in their hearts they were not. Okay? And they kept up that appearance. They kept up their Islam as a ruse. You know why? So that they could oppose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way they could do so. Yet when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the opportunity for revenge, he doesn't go after them for revenge. He doesn't hold that against them. The leader of the hypocrites, the person who harmed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at every turn of his life in Medina, at every opportunity he could be harmed, that person, Abdullah ibn Ubay, this criminal, when this criminal dies, finally, good riddance, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up to start leading the janazah of this criminal. Who is the person who was responsible for spreading the slander against his wife Aisha? Who was the person who would undermine every single decision the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made? Who was the person who turned away a third of the army from the battle of Uhud? And that turning away a third of the army cost many lives, including the uncle of the Prophet, Hamza. Who was the person who at every single opportunity would say something to make the Prophet look bad? That was how bad this man was. This criminal finally dies, and the Messenger of Allah has this beautiful heart where he turns and is about to lead the janazah of this criminal. And when Umar radiallahu anhu reminds him, stands between him and the janazah, says, "Ya Rasulullah, how could you pray? وَقَدْ قَالَ يَوْمَ كَذَا." He said this on that day. He said this on that day. How could you, you know, pray for this person, for his forgiveness? And the Messenger at that point smiled and said, "أَخِرْ عَنِّي يَا عُمَرُ." Umar, you move away from me. I was given a choice, and I have chosen to pray the janazah for this person. And then later on, the ayah was revealed to tell the Messenger of Allah, never pray janazah over these people again. The point of the story, though, brothers and sisters, is despite this person harming the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, hurting him so much, undermining his authority at every turn, still the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, idfa billati hiya ahsan, would respond to that evilness with kindness, for that contempt with forgiveness. That's the point, brothers and sisters. None of us are ever going to face that much contempt and that much hatred in our lives. No one will be hurt like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hurt by Abdullah ibn Ubay. Okay? Now, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can set that bar for us of how to respond to that kind of evil with that much love and gentleness, then for us who are going to have much less of that, the response has to be, you know, the response is easier. Right? If the trial is lesser, the response or what's incumbent upon us is easier as well. So if somebody says something to us that is inappropriate, somebody says something to us that makes us upset, somebody says something that's derogatory about us, okay? And now here is an opportunity to respond with anger. Here is an opportunity to say something that will really stick it to them. Okay? We should think back to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who had far worse but treated those people far much better. That is the character of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when the Messenger says, right, when he says something, when he tells us to do something, believe me, brothers and sisters, he's practiced his entire life. When he says, ما نقصت صدقة من مال, صدقة does not decrease wealth. Okay, he's lived that his entire life. He would give and give and give until when he passed away, he had nothing left except his shield. Okay, وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزًّا. And whenever Allah puts a person in a situation where they forgive, that forgiveness only increases that person in honor and dignity. Nothing. It does not debase the person, does not lower them. It actually raises them. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. And nobody humbles themselves for the sake of Allah except that Allah raises them. Meaning every single time somebody humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah would raise them. In the eyes of the people, would raise them in ranks in Jannah, would raise them in honor. This is what, brothers and sisters, this is the asl of our religion. This is the base, the foundation of our religion. Why am I bringing it up today? Did someone say something to me? No, alhamdulillah. Did someone say something to you? I don't know, perhaps. But I'm bringing it up particularly today because this is Sha'ban. This is the month of Sha'ban. And it is, I believe, 11th or 12th of Sha'ban today. And after Sha'ban is the month of Ramadan, of course. The month of Sha'ban is the month where the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged us to do good deeds, because that's the month, he said, people are neglectful of it. People neglect good deeds in it because perhaps they're waiting for Ramadan to really kick into high gear. But there is a very important good deed, brothers and sisters, that we have to do. There's a very important preparation that we have to prepare ourselves with before we welcome the month of Ramadan. And that is getting rid of shahna in our hearts, getting rid of anything that is a grudge in our hearts, getting rid of things that are detrimental to our akhirah, getting rid of any beef between us and a person, getting rid of all of that. Now, there's an important disclaimer here. If you are wronged by somebody, that doesn't mean you just, you know, turn the other cheek and let it go. It's your right to seek justice. No one is denying you that right. Okay? I'm not talking about that. If somebody has been abused, it is your right to get justice. I'm not denying that either. I'm talking about things where someone has said something about you. Someone has maybe discredited you. Or somebody has maybe given you something or not given you something that you felt that you deserved. Okay? Things that are not, you know, in the category of dhulm, oppression and injustice. Okay, that's a different category. I'm just talking about stuff that happens between brothers and sisters, stuff that happens between a husband and a wife, stuff that happens between siblings. Okay, I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about dhulm. If you have been wronged, it is 100% your right, my brother, to get your right. It is. Okay, and no one's going to deny you that. But I'm talking about things that are not dhulm. That's not injustice outright. But it is, feelings are hurt. Okay. Somebody says something that hurt my feelings. It's important at that point to let that stuff go before Ramadan comes. Why is that? The Messenger of Allah ﷺ says in an authentic hadith that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَطَّلِعُ فِي لَيْلَةِ النِّصْرِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَطَّلِعُ فِي لَيْلَةِ النِّصْرِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحٍ. That Allah forgives on the night, on the 15th night of Sha'ban, every single person. Every single person. except for a person who is a mushrik, a polytheist, somebody who does not believe in Allah in the last day, somebody who does not believe in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person is not worthy of the salvation of the akhirah. They have to solve that problem first. But if that is there, that foundation is there of tawheed, then the thing that stops a person's forgiveness is al-mushahin, the person who has in their heart what's called al-shahna, a grudge, a beef, things that you hold against another person. That kind, those kind of feelings and sentiments, that is what is preventing a person's forgiveness. That's the barrier. The word shahna is very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, describes the وَحَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. We carried them in a ship that was full. This is Nuh alayhi salam, excuse me, who is described as, you know, being carried in a ship that is mashhoon, filled with people and animals. Okay? So shahna is something that is filled up. So Raghib says, for example, shahna adawatun imtalat minha nafs. Subhanallah. He says it is the kind of animosity, it's the kind of grudges that have completely taken over a person. When you wake up, you think of that. When you see that person's face, that's the first thought that crosses your mind. When you read something on Facebook that they said, that is something that comes to your mind. He dissed me that day. He said that thing about me that day. He undermined me that day. That's the kind of sentiment that is shahna. It is not that you have been wronged and hurt and oppressed. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about how you perceive it. And you perceive it to be so bad that it has completely taken over you. امتلت منها النفس. Completely. That's all you think about when you see, when you think of that person. So it is, Mutanabbi said that very nicely. He said, كُلُّ عَدَاوَةٍ تُرْجَى مَوَدَّتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةَ مَنْ عَدَكَ مِنْ حَسَدِ. He said that, you know, every type of animosity, we could expect somebody to like get over it. Okay? But the person who just hates you just because they don't like you, min hasad, they just don't like you. You don't expect that person to get over that ever. You expect that person to remain that way forever. So that particular sentiment, my brothers and sisters, is so detrimental, it stops the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It stops it. It's the barrier that prevents it. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا أما بعد. We are going to approach Ramadan, inshallah, in a few days, maybe 20 days, 18 days, Ramadan will begin, subhanallah. And every time Ramadan comes, it's an opportunity for us to earn our Jannah, every single time. It is our opportunity to achieve salvation. Okay? That's the that's the description of that month, right? That is the month where Allah frees the people from the fire of hell. It's the time to earn the forgiveness of Allah. But brothers and sisters, before we can earn Allah's forgiveness, we have to find in our heart the ability to forgive others. That has to happen. Again, I'm not talking about something that was, you know, injustice, something that was oppression, abuse. I'm not talking about that. That's your right to get justice for that. Okay? Please don't misunderstand me. Because this is said to people who have been oppressed, who have been dealt wrongfully, that hey, just forgive that person and move on with your life. I'm not even advocating for that. Your right is to get the justice. Okay? But what I'm talking about is when there is no oppression. It's just people. Friction between people. Okay? And because of that, a person cannot overlook those incidents. That is what I'm talking about. Before we can expect Allah to forgive us, we have to find it in our hearts to forgive others. We have the example of the great Sahabi, the greatest Sahabi, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was very severely hurt when his daughter, Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, when it was alleged that she was having an affair. Falsely, of course. And that thing was clarified by Allah in the Quran, in surah number 24, Surah Nur. Okay? But then, the people who engaged in that conversation, people who talked about that stuff, people who gossiped about it, people who spread that news, people who retweeted that information. Okay? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was not happy that these people were doing this. And of course, why wouldn't he be happy? Why? Like, he has all right to be upset at those people. Okay? Who spreads these slanders about his daughter? And particularly the wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has all right to be upset at these people. One of these people was a cousin of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Mistah radiallahu anhu, who was a cousin of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, a poor man. Left Makkah, came to Medina, sacrificed a lot, but committed this mistake of engaging in the gossip about Aisha radiallahu anha. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to support this man financially. Used to give him money financial every single month to sustain him, help him make ends meet. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq found out that one of the people who spread this gossip was Mislah, Abu Bakr said, "Uqsimu Allah, that I swear by Allah, I will not spend upon this person again. I'm not giving him any more money." Okay? Now you could say that's 100% Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's right. That's 100% his prerogative. It's his money, and this man who is getting this money is the one who spread the lies about his daughter. Of course he has a right to be upset. Okay? No one can fault him for that. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first speaking to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and then the rest of us. He says, وَلَا يَأْتَرِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّاعَةِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those of you who have excess wealth and also honor, excess honor, you are honorable and noble, you are not, you know, somebody who's low, you are the highest of character, you should continue giving to those who are your relatives, those who are poor, those who have left and made much sacrifice for the sake of Allah. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْبَحُوا. They must forgive and they must overlook. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want that Allah forgives you? اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is very forgiving and very merciful. When this ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, this ayah was recited to him by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Ibn Ashur says, this ayah, ibtida'an, you know, initially it addresses Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And then after that, ta'ummu jami' al-ummah. After that, it is talking about the rest of the ummah. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq heard this ayah being recited, he said, bala uhibbu an yaghfir Allahu li. He says, of course I want Allah to forgive me. And then he continued, he went back to supporting his cousin financially. The point is, brothers and sisters, he had all right to be upset and mislah. Maybe he could have been like, you know what, I've forgiven him, but I'm not giving him any more money. I'm not giving him any money. That's his prerogative. But true forgiveness is even letting go of that. Even letting go of that grudge that's holding him back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Abu Bakr, says, you are a person of fadl. You are a person of wealth, and you are a person of great character. So of the nobility of your character is to let go of these small things. Let bygones be bygones. And when that can happen, brothers and sisters, that's when Allah can forgive us. أَلَا تُحِبُّنَا يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to forgive others and to overlook others' flaws and to overlook the things that we have said to others that have harmed them. We ask Allah's forgiveness for that, because we say much that would hurt others' feelings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our hearts in this dunya so we can be united in Jannah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalina wa fil akhirin. Wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'i al-a'la ila yawmidin. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa amitna ala millatihi. Wa ahshunna fi zumratihi wa asqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alameen. Wa atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Wa qina adhaban nar wa aqimus salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.